How did our universe begin? This age-old question is answered differently depending upon who you ask. Many will answer this question with the theories of modern science or human reason. But I believe everyone needs to be given an opportunity to also hear the Bible answer to this question. Thank you, friends, for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, and I'm the host of the program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we took a break from our creation series, and I want to conclude it this morning, and I'm glad that you're here. We noticed that the Bible doctrine of creation is very important, and we noticed several facts that are given to us that help us understand and mold our thinking about the proper answer to the question, how did our universe begin? I believe there are seven key facts about creation that are given in God's Word. We've looked at six of them already, of which I will review briefly, and then I want to look at the seventh and final one this morning and then give some closing comments and observations. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So reads Genesis 1 and verse 1 in the beginning of Scripture. It's the beginning of Scripture. It's the beginning of the universe. And in the Word of God, about 75 times, creation is explicitly mentioned. And we need to be given that hearing of that information. We need to hear that. We need to look at that and examine that, just like we would look and examine science and the physical universe. We need to examine the biblical information. And when you examine it properly, and you examine the natural world properly, they both fit like hand in glove. They're not contradictory. True science and true Bible interpretation are not in conflict. They're in harmony. Because God made the physical world. God made the ability to do science. He also revealed His Word in Scripture. So obviously they're going to go hand in hand. Today it's portrayed that science versus the Bible or science is against Christianity. It's really not. That's a misnomer. That's a lie. That's a distortion and a mistruth. True science and true interpretation of Scripture go together beautifully. But in previous programs, we looked at some Bible facts about creation. Number one, creation was an act of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The whole universe came into being through the creative work of the Godhead, not through naturalistic evolution, and not even through theistic evolution, God using evolution, but God speaking the universe into existence. Number two, creation was a free act of God. He chose freely to do that out of His own love and goodness. Number three, creation brought forth something out of nothing. The Latin ex nihilo, out of nothing. God did not use pre-existing materials. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. God called into existence that which did not previously exist. God is eternal, but not matter. The next point that we noticed, number four, was creation was accomplished by God's own word and will. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light, for example, and there was light. It was accomplished instantaneously by the word of God, not gradually over long eons of time by random chance of evolution. Number five, creation was both of visible things and invisible things. Colossians 1:16. There's an entire invisible world that we don't even think about sometimes, involving the unseen world of angels. God created time. So both the visible and the invisible. And number six, God created and accomplished all of this in six literal 24-hour days. Not long eons of time, billions of years suggested by the modern unbelieving scientist, but six literal 24-hour days. And we looked at the evidence for that. I want to close this morning with the very important point that creation, God's creation, has meaning and purpose. And then I would like to close with some practical admonitions for us today. Creation has meaning and purpose. And I want to look at two of those things this morning. Number one, creation demonstrates the glory of God. Look around you, friends. The intricate working of the human mind and body. The beautiful physical world. We have many colors. We have many sounds. We have many tastes. We have many textures. God is aesthetic, if you will. We don't live in a bland black and white world with no sound, no smells, no tastes, no colors, no textures. God's creation demonstrates His power and His wisdom and His glory. And that's a beautiful thought. There's many passages, but I want to just touch on a few. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. For who hath directed the Spirit of Jehovah, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in a path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are accounted as a small dust in a balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or the likeness will you compare unto Him?" God is glorious, and His creation is glorious. He sits above the circle of the earth. He hangs the earth on nothing. He fills the heavens. And when you look out and you see a glorious universe, you see a glorious Creator and God. Psalm 104 and verse 24, "O Jehovah, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches." And what a beautiful thing that is. God created with His power and His wisdom. And you can look at the physical universe in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul says that you can look at the physical universe and it'll show you some things about God. What exactly is that? Well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made." You can look at the physical things that are made and see what? "His everlasting power and divinity," or Godhood. You see God's design, God's unity, God's Word, and it's a beautiful thing. His wisdom that was used. You can see the wisdom that went into making the human body, for example. You can see wisdom in wildlife. You can see wisdom in the weather and in the natural world and in the plant and animal kingdom. You see wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22, "Jehovah possessed me." Wisdom is speaking as if she were a woman. "Jehovah possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from the beginning, before the earth was." And it goes on to talk about how that God used wisdom in the creation of the universe. And also, creation brings glory to the Father. Everything glorifies God. And that's a beautiful thought. Everything glorifies God, the non-living and the living as well. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Glorious, meaning exceptional and above and beyond the average and the mundane. It's the superior. It's the beautiful. It causes wonder and amazement. And even scientists continue to wonder and be amazed at the things that they find in the natural world and the discoveries that are made every day. The heavens declare the glory of God. And living beings are supposed to glorify God as well. And friend, you and I need to do that. And one way we do that is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become a Christian, a disciple of God's divine Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we glorify God. In the book of Revelation, there are heavenly beings that have enough good sense. They know the truth of the matter. And they have enough good sense to bow down and glorify God. And if we will live faithfully and obey Christ, we can do that same bowing down in heaven one day for all eternity. These living beings in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, they're crying out around the throne, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. Why? For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they were and were created." What a beautiful thing. Giving glory to God, also in chapter 5, verse 13, and chapter 10, and verse 6. Creation also brings glory to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Remember, we made a point earlier on the program that Christ was a direct part of creating all things, John 1, 1 through 3, but also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For in him, Jesus, were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Look at this. "All things have been created through him and unto him." All things can turn around and give their glory to Christ. So, are we doing that, friends, in our life? Also, creation is for man's good. Creation, and the earth in particular, is for man to inhabit. God made a Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve at the very beginning. He's made a created earth. He's created plants and animals to sustain mankind. A beautiful environment. And that is very important. God takes care of the height of his creation, mankind. Look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. Earth was made for mankind to inhabit. God thought about that in advance and created a beautiful world for that. Remember back in Genesis when he got done creating all things, everything was good. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, "For thus saith Jehovah that created the heavens, the God that formed the earth and made it, that established it and created it, not a waste, that formed it to be inhabited." When he brought all things into being, he took that and formed it and filled it. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, "The earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." He didn't leave it like that. It was waste and void, and then he filled it and he formed it. And he established it and formed it to be inhabited. Creation is for man. Creation is to be enjoyed. Creation is not to be worshipped. And that's the mistake that people have made. People have worshipped the earth. People have worshipped physical things. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 They exchanged the truth of a God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature or the creation rather than the Creator. People worship animals and people worship the earth and other physical things. We're not to worship creation, but we can enjoy it and we can take care of it. We can be good stewards of it. I believe that we should work toward clean air and clean water and a clean environment. I believe that we should work to allow plants and animals to thrive and reproduce and try to cut down on what we call our own human carbon footprint. We are here to enjoy God's creation, but we can balance that also with good, responsible stewardship so that we can pass on this earth to the next generation as long as God has it planned. But one day, the earth and the works will be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10, when the judgment day comes. This earthly environment will be no more. We will face God in judgment. Friends, where will you be? So that brings me to my concluding thoughts then. And that is, how do we apply all of these studies that we've had on creation? How do we apply that to our practical lives today? Well, first of all, I would say that no one living being was present at the beginning of the universe. No one but the Godhead observed the creation and the beginning of the universe. Therefore, creation, as far as we're concerned, is a fact that must be accepted by faith in God's word. And that's why I read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. The atheist was not there. I was not there. The evolutionist was not there. The creationist was not there. We live in a universe that was already in existence when we came around. What is the best evidence for the beginning? And so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds that have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear. We can believe that or not. The evidence is in favor of creation and not random chance, atheistic, naturalistic evolution. We have a universe. It is intricately designed. What makes more sense? A random Big Bang or a designer? And I argue for the latter. And common sense really does as well. You don't have to be a highfalutin scientist or even a scholarly theologian to understand that intelligent design makes things. Cell phones don't just magically come into being. The car that you're in right now, the home that you're in right now, the cell phone that you're listening on right now, none of those things came into being by an explosion or some chance act. It was because intelligent beings created those things. Why not so much more so the vast universe? Just common sense is on the side of intelligent design for the beginning of the universe. And that intelligent design is not just some generic higher being, it's the God of Scripture. Number two, we can learn some things about God even by examining the natural revelation. I've mentioned both Psalm 19:1 and Revelation 1:20 in this morning's lesson. Both of those texts talk about how that we can look out the heavens, declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The things that are made, Romans 1:20, show and point to God's everlasting power and divinity. Let's study the natural revelation. Let's study the natural universe around us. I know Christians who are scientists by profession. My nephew's wife is a young microbiologist and a firm believer in God. And I know Christians who are in the science field, science teachers, and those who are even doing research. I have a niece that is a biologist. I have family members who are in the science field. They're using their minds to study the science world around them, the physical world around them, and yet understanding that God created all of that. And one thing that points them in the direction of God, in addition to the Bible that they also believe, and by the way, they're using their same scientific mind and their intelligence and their good grades and all of that to say, I also believe the Bible. I say that because I think sometimes people think that Bible readers and followers are stupid. No, they're not. They're very intelligent. So not only do they look at their Bible and see God, but they, in their everyday scientific world, as I mentioned, I have a niece in marine biology, and she sees a creator at every turn. My nephew's wife is a microbiologist, has a master's degree in microbiology, and when she studies that, she sees a designer, a divine designer in all of that. And so we can look out and should use our minds, if we like science, to go into that realm. It points to God. Number three, our Bible is what gives us a special revelation about God Himself. And it's not enough just to be a creationist. We must be a Christian. Let me say that again. It's not enough to be a creationist. We must be a Christian. And so that's where, friends, today the rubber meets the road. You may be hearing me, and maybe you've heard the past sessions that I've had on creation, and you say, I do believe that God created the world. That's great. But let me ask you this. Do you believe that God also makes a new creation? 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is a Christian. Every man that is in Christ is a new creation. Do you believe that also? Take the next step. I'm glad that you're a creationist, but now become a Christian. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Come to Christ. Not only believe in creation, but believe in the new creation, which is the New Testament church. Also in Galatians 6 and verse 15. Become God's spiritual creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2:10. You see, you believe that God made the physical world around you. Believe now in that you can be God's special creation in Christ. And come and obey the gospel and live faithfully. You can do that. And that's the way you truly glorify God. You want to come and obey Him in all aspects of His creation. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, He began to create a physical world. But do you know what? He had in His mind all along, even before the worlds began, we learn this from Ephesians chapter 3, that He also intended to create a people in Christ Jesus to be Christians. So when that time came and that need came with sin entering into the world, and when He chose to bring His Son into the world to save all mankind, there was already that eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. That's a part of creation as well, friend. And you need to be not just a creationist, but a Christian. Let me encourage you to be God's new creation. And along those lines, it's not enough to be a creationist. You need to be a Christian. But it's not enough to be a creationist and a Christian. You need to live faithfully each and every day as a Christian so that you can be a part of God's new heavens and new earth. New heavens and new earth. You can be a citizen, an inhabitant of that new heavens and new earth. Now, it's not on this earth restored, no, 2 Peter 3:10, it will be burned up, but it's in heaven itself. And we read about that in Isaiah 65 and verse 17, Isaiah 66 verse 22, 2 Peter 3:13, Revelation 21 and verse 1, a new heavens and a new earth. We need to be faithful Christians. Revelation 21 and verse 1, a description of heaven. It begins this way, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Is it this one that we now have restored? No, because John says, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. What you see today is gone, and the sea is no more. This is something new. It's heaven itself. Friends, are you going to be a part of that? Well, you're going to have to be a Christian first, and you're going to have to live faithfully. But if you're this kind of a person, Revelation 21:8, this is not a part of heaven. The fearful, the unbelieving? What do you believe about creation? The unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, and lying is so prevalent today. All liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And when you turn over to Revelation 21, the very last verse, again, a description of heaven, there shall in no wise enter into it heaven, this new heavens and new earth, anything unclean, or he that makes an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we become a Christian and we're baptized into Christ, our name is entered in. Back in Revelation chapter 3, we learn that our name can be taken out of that book of life if we no longer live faithfully, Revelation 3:5. So we live faithfully and our name continues to be in that Lamb's book of life. We can enter into heaven itself. John goes on to describe some things about heaven in Revelation 22. And he comes on down in verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gate of the city. But without are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. That's the third time John brings that up, because lying is so prevalent. That's the third time he brings that up. We must enter in and be faithful and be holy and be righteous until Jesus comes again and we can be a part of that new heavens and new earth. Friends, be a creationist. The evidence demands it. Number two, be a Christian. The gospel demands it. Number three, be a faithful Christian all the way to the end. Heaven requires it. And so, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Be on track, friends, with believing that God created all things, and become that Christian today if you need to do that. If you already are, continue living faithfully. And if we can help you in any of that, please contact us. I hope that you'll have a good day and take care.